Brooklyn's Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
My name is Dave Jemdas and I'm at the Walton on Thames Model Railway Exhibition. It's a small and friendly exhibition in a church hall with lots of model layouts, everything from sections of the California coast to a Spanish village where the cars and trains share the same road space. Lots of layouts set in parts of Wales and England in days gone by where steam engines plied their way, and there's even a layout for children to try with Thomas the Tank Engine and friends. So let's meet some of the people, starting with the organiser. Now I'm with Gellert, the organiser of this exhibition, so hi.
Hello.
Good to meet you. Now, so this is your passion, model railways?
Yes, yeah, I love it. It's a great hobby. Yeah, I recommend it to everyone.
Now, what surprised me is the detail in the layouts that most people are, well, probably that's wrong to say, some of them are recreating actual places as faithfully as they can, and other ones are using their imagination just to create something fascinating.
Yes, well, some of them are based on actual places, as you've said. And they try to get scenery, locomotives and rolling stock from that era, and others just base it of their imagination, but most of them do have a specific place where they base it off.
And you've also got people selling all the bits and pieces for the trains and the track and everything else, but also I noticed you can buy packets of grass, model grass and mountains and all sorts of things, can't you?
Well, yes, Yeah, I've bought grass before and it's really annoying. You have to put it down one by one, so it does take time. But yes, you can buy grass, so it's hills and it's good for scenery. So
the attraction to this is building the models or demonstrating them once they're finished or the train element of it? Or?
Well, you'll find that most layout trainers say that their layout is never finished. Even after 20 years, they will say it is never finished. But they love exhibiting it and they love having a go at just playing it off and showing off their skills.
Now, I'm no expert, of course, but the Spanish layout over there is absolutely fascinating. And the fact that there's moving cars and he's got video clips and all sorts of things going on. I know there's no prizes, but if there was, that would win a prize for me.
Yeah, that's like a really good layout. It's relatively new. This is one of the first shows that's got exhibited. It's like a year old. But I've had the owner exhibit his other layouts and they're all fantastic.
Amazing. There's obviously a lot of love goes into these things.
Yes. Well, you have to put years of work in. Like we had one layout that was built for 8 years. That was last year, so it does take a bit of work.
On the other hand, there's relatively small ones, simpler ones, so people can get started on this, isn't there?
Well, yes, I personally started on a 1x1 meter one as well, so you can go from anywhere. People even use A4 sheets, the size of A4 sheets to start off, and if they don't have much space, but we've even got like a 27 feet one, so it can be A4 to up to massive.
You need a lot of space if you want a 27-foot layout, don't you? Someone like Rod Stewart, I think, he's got a whole attic full of train layouts, hasn't he?
Yes, but most of our exhibitors belong to clubs and other societies, so they usually store them there.
Great. Thank you very much, and good luck with your show.
Thank you very much.
Right, I'm with Elliot with a quite expansive layout that says Nocturne Barad. Is that a real place?
Nicton Borrowed. If you say it with a Hampshire burr, it's all Nicton Borrowed, my dove.
So it is a real place?
Sorry?
It is a real place.
No, it isn't.
Right.
No, it's not a real place. It was a club layout that was built by a couple of members at a time when we were in a lot of turmoil because we were being thrown out of the community centre we were meeting in. There was no budget because any spare money we had was going towards the fitting out of our new club rooms. They built it and they had to nick and borrow everything from other club members or from other club projects.
Now, I noticed there's a steam engine, so this is clearly not a modern layout.
No, this layout is based in the end of steam. They call it the transition era, where they were going from steam to diesel and electric. And it's based in the rolling chalk downlands of Hampshire. It is a fictitious layout based on something that was supposed to have happened during the Second World War when they were going to build a branch line off the Meon Valley line through to Southwark, where the D-Day invasion was being planned. to make getting the heads of government and heads of state in and out of the invasion headquarters much easier.
Right, so there's even buildings with strategically placed holes in the roof.
Yes, of course, if you look at the fiction of how the line developed, it was a wartime layout. And the obviously, the MOD are not using all the facilities anymore, and the goodshed has been allowed to go to rack and ruin, and the sections of the corrugated iron in the roof have fallen through. And if you look very carefully, you'll find that they're actually all stuck where they would have fallen inside the building.
So is the pleasure with this the railway side, or is it the recreation or the imagination that's involved in building this?
A bit of everything, really. I mean, we enjoy coming out and operating it at exhibitions like this, but we're also there's a lot of hard work and a lot of interesting skills go into making the scenery as you can see it. I mean, this layout, for example, has been done with a new, relatively new product called static grass, so that there's actually body and depth in the grass as you look at it. Versus if you look at some of the other layouts around, they've actually just got scenic scatter on.
Tell me about the trains.
Well, the two trains we've got sitting in the station at the moment, the one on the main platform is what's called a pull-push train, so the locomotive always stays hooked up at one end of the train, and when it wants to come out in the station, in this instance, the driver goes up to the back end of the train, opens up a cab there, and can then drive the train out, leaving the fireman on the locomotive footplate to look after it and make sure that nothing goes wrong, to take over if the driver loses control. And then the train that's parked in the carriage siding is ex-London Southwestern stop that was recently released by Hornby, but it depicts trains that were built back in the early part of the 20th century and then modified just before the Second World War, and then eventually passed into British Railways ownership when nationalisation happened.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now, I'm with Sandra on the California coast. So this is part of the Union Pacific Railroad, and we have a lovely piece of California coast, and I believe this is called Z gauge. Is this the smallest railways you can get?
It's the smallest gauge you can get.
Yes,
that is the difference between the N and the Z.
So N's the next smallest, and then Z is the smallest. So, these carriages are still about 4 inches long, so they're not minute, really, are they?
True.
It's a lovely layout here, and it is a copy of a real part of the coast.
Yes, it is. Well, it is very similar to this, the coastline, because we've travelled on it.
So you don't just make the models, you travel and enjoy the railways as well.
Yes. We were out there 4 years ago to one of their railway conventions, which is totally different to here.
Different in what way?
Well, they take over a hotel, and they have talks on modelling and everything and that. And then they take you out by car, your car share, and they take you around to people's layouts.
Oh, in their own homes, and then they show them off that way.
Yes, and some of them are really worth looking at, because they were in the basement, and the size of them.
Yeah, and are we talking about small gauge or bigger gauge or what?
Well, it can be all gauges they go in, mainly sort of the 00, but we have seen them in the N gauge and Z.
Right, so if they take over a hotel, then I assume this is a really popular hobby in America then?
Oh, yes. We try to do about 3 shows a year now.
Great. Well, thank you, Sandra. It's been nice talking with you.
Right. Thank you.
Right. I'm with Ian in front of a beautiful layout, including a Spanish village, a mine, tunnels, all sorts of things. And this is about the most detail I've seen today here. Ferrocarril Samaria Gandia. So do tell me the story, please.
Well, we saw a video which is running on a screen over there, called On the Spanish Narrow Gauge, which was filmed by British people during the late 60s, mid to late 60s, just before the steam lines closed down. and that's what inspired us to build this particular layout.
And the train actually goes down the high street as well, doesn't it? I love that.
Well, that's what we thought. That looks a bit mad, having freight trains going down the high street. And there was also a shared road and rail tunnel that was a kilometre long, single bore, which cars and trains went down.
So the cars have to queue up, presumably, and when there's no trains running, they can get a free run?
There were traffic lights, which, yeah, obviously. But it must have been quite scary to drive in, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, it's an absolutely beautiful layout you have, and a lot of controls so you can change all sorts of things going. And you've also got moving cars as well, which, whatever the mechanism is well hidden underneath, so that's rather clever.
Well, I didn't invent it, unfortunately, but yes, it's a proprietary mechanism. But because of the street running and the vehicles using the tunnel, we felt we had to have moving cars. So that was the inspiration for that bit.
Yeah, and the cars seem to go in quite a complex loop, going forwards and backwards here. I do like this. And this is the whole village, and the attention to detail here is amazing. We've got market stalls, people cooking food, all sorts of things going on here.
Yeah, it's based upon Castellón de la Plana in Valencia, where the actual street running was. We've just tried to model it. The cafe is based on the one that was actually there, and the palm trees and so on are taken from photos. So, to make it as accurate as possible.
It's a great layout and a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
Very kind of you. Thank you.
Right, I'm with Malcolm on the stall that sells everything for the model railway person.
Well, we specialise in the 3mm, the old Triang TT gauge, but we do stock everything in other gauges from N-gauge and 00.
Right, and there's also lots of tools, and what fascinates me is our plastic grass and trees and everything else. So, I mean, you can buy bags of straw bales and pretty much anything you want here, so there must be quite a big industry making these things somewhere, I guess.
Yes, it all tends to be made in Vietnam these days. It was made in Germany, but the prices got so high that a lot of it now goes out to Vietnam to be manufactured.
How strange.
Yes. It's sort of a grain of rice, I think, for painting each little flower head.
Oh, wow, yes, they are absolutely microscopic little flowers here, yes. And somebody's painted them, haven't they?
Sweet corn, vines, roses, marsh marigolds, hydrangea. It's amazing.
These are really tiny. We're talking about sort of, where are we? 5mm, 3mm high plants here.
Well,
and somebody's
N-gauge.
Painted them.
They're individual plants for N-gauge.
N-gauge. And N-gauge is one of the really small, but really not small. The really, really smallest.
Yes, it's the very smallest gauge is T-gauge these days, which the track is just 3mm across.
Wow.
But N-gauge is 9mm across.
Oh, it's huge in that case. Absolutely huge. So what's the most unusual thing you sell?
Well, I manufacture things like telegraph poles. We've got an injection moulding machine, and I manufacture telegraph poles. So, again, in N-gauge, 3mm TT gauge, and in 00 gauge.
So this is in your garden shed or garage?
In a workshop that I built in the garden, yes, indeed.
In your workshop, you manufacture telegraph poles?
Yes.
Now, if you tell people that normally, they'll imagine huge, great things, of course. Like, how can you possibly do that in your back garden?
Well, these are about, the N-gauge ones are about 2 inches high, and the 3 inches high for a TT.
And there's a little man fixing things on top of them.
Absolutely, yes. They've got a little ladder to go up.
That's fascinating, fascinating. So do you have your own layout? Are you into that side of things as well?
Well, I had to get rid of... We did have a quite a large layout, but to find room in the house for all of this stock, we had to get rid of the layout, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
We've got a sample one, just a test track, to try all the goods out. All of different gauges, so it's got an N gauge, a TT, and a 00 gauge piece of track that we can run and test everything on. But that's it at the moment. There are no nice layout that we'd like to be able to have.
So I assume they're the three most popular gauges for people who are into serious model building.
Well, the most popular is 00 gauge for Hornby and Backman. They're the big manufacturers who actually all comes out the same factory in China. But N gauge is again manufactured by Daypole in this country and Backman, and Hornby were considering going back into TT gauge. It was originally a Triang product, which Hornby took over Triang, but it was ceased commercial production. But we bought all the moulds, Gem and Beck moulds and Masters, and so we continue producing all the kits for TT gauge, which is still quite popular. Everybody who looks at it says, oh, that's the perfect gauge because it's small enough to get into a normal size house these days. It's one scale of 1 to 100. So it's a very easy gauge to work out. If you want to work out how big to make something, just divide it by 100 and you know you can get it in what size it's going to be.
Cool. And just looking at the racks here, there's loads of tiny little people and animal ducks, swans, seagulls. There's anything you want here, isn't there?
Yes, we do. We cater for just about everything in that gauge.
Great. That's fascinating. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm with John in front of another layout. Now, where is this one?
This layout is fictitious. It's not based on anywhere in particular.
So it's purely in your head. And this one's a modern day one, unlike most of the layouts around here. Well, it's not actually modern day, is it? Are we talking about 50s, 70s?
Yeah, it's based on the 1970s, yeah. This is my train spotting days, when I used to go train spotting in the 1970s and 80s. And this is what I model.
All right, so these are all the standard British Rail carriages and so on, the things that you saw all those years ago.
Yes, British Rail, yeah, all in the corporate blue-grey and blue-yellow locos, yeah.
Cool, I love these little modern model cars, they're great, and you've got mechanics busy fixing the cars as well. Great, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm with Maxwell Henn, a layout operator. Do tell me about your beautiful layout, please.
Certainly. This is a layout set in the interwar period, probably around the time of the Great Depression, and it represents a minor railway in North Wales, mainly handling coal and limestone from an adjacent quarry. So it's a little backwater of a railway, just occasional freight traffic. The sort of thing that Dr. Beechey, unfortunately, closed and done away with in the 1960s.
So is this an attempt to be geographically accurate, or is this from your imagination?
It's probably geographically fixed in that the area in mind would have been in North Wales. It's not my railway, it actually belongs to a colleague of mine, and he's very keen on North Wales, Cheshire, that kind of area, and it represents more his heritage than mine may be. But yes, it is geographically attempted to make it located in that way.
There's obviously an awful lot of work gone into to building this. Now, how would I describe it? So there's a lot of greenery. There's a Charles English coal merchant, three wood, little cars, sheep, trees. There's everything here, as well as the actual railway, of course.
Yes, that's right, yes. We obviously try and create the impression of the railway within its setting, within its scenery. That probably is what distinguishes a model railway like this from the sort of train set that you might have had when you were a child. The idea would be to create a scene. Often for nostalgic purposes, these are areas of the country that we remember when we were younger, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
So that was the Walton-on-Thames Model Railway Exhibition. I hope you enjoyed it.
Brooklands Radio. Loving events in Surrey.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.